an Osho Talk. From Unconsciousness to Consciousness, number 6.
What do you think about the attitude of the messiahs, avatars, Tirthankaras and Paigambaras towards women?
Just disgusting. These people who have been thought to be messengers of God who have been teaching compassion, love, have never considered at all that the woman is also human. They are born out of a woman. Still, they have all sown nauseating disrespect towards womanhood. The reason is very clear. The reason is they are afraid of women. And it is a psychological truth that you are afraid and at the same time fascinated. Fear and fascination exist together. In fact, the fear is the byproduct of fascination. They are fascinated, which is natural. There is nothing wrong in it. It is absolutely human. But if they want to be a messiah or a Tirthankara or a Paigambara or an avatara, then they have to fulfill the conditions which the tradition prescribes for them to fulfill. And all the traditions are made up by men. Up to now, we have lived in a man-made society in which the woman has not been taken into consideration at all. Confucius and the whole China is influenced by Confucius thinking, believes that there is no soul in a woman. She is only body. killing a woman is not a murder. So for thousands of years in China, if somebody killed his own wife, it was not crime. It was just, if you want to destroy or tear your furniture or anything that belongs to you, you possess it. It is yours. Exactly, the woman is yours. You are the possessor. You can kill her. There was no law in China to prevent a husband from killing his wife. And there was no punishment either. Because the woman was a thing, not a being. And Confucius is thought to be one of the wisest men in the world. Now, what kind of wisdom is this? He is the founder of Confucianism. But all that Confucius has done is confused human mind and nothing else. Every religion is afraid of woman, because every religion is afraid of sex. Every religion is repressive of sex, against sex. Naturally, it is a byproduct that every religion has to be against the woman. The woman has to be condemned. If you condemn sex, you are bound to condemn the woman. If you respect the woman, it is a corollary. You will respect sex also as a natural thing. And why these people were against sex? They are different in their attitudes about everything except sex. About sex, all religions agree. That seems to be the only agreement amongst religions. So it seems to be tremendously important that we should go deep into the whole phenomenon, why they are afraid of it. They are afraid of sex because it is the greatest energy in man, the most powerful pull of nature and biology. There is no way to destroy it. Either you can condemn and repress it, or you can understand and transform it. But the second is a long and arduous path and needs tremendous intelligence, awareness. Because sex is an unconscious force in you. Each cell of your body is made of it, is vibrant with it. Your conscious mind is nothing compared to your unconscious sexual energy. Hence the fear that the unconscious can take possession of you any moment. But to repress seems to be easier. Repression needs no intelligence in the first place. Any idiot can do it. In fact, only idiots do it. I have been surprised seeing hundreds of monks in India belonging to different religions. They are all repressing their sexuality. My surprise was that the more they repress their sexuality, the more stupid they become. Exactly in the same proportion, repressing nature is such an idiotic effort that it is bound to destroy your intelligence. The Jaina monk is the most repressive of all in the whole world. There are only 22 Jaina monks left in India who live like Mahavira, naked, following exactly the ancient path. I have met all the 22 because I was roaming all over India. So it was not difficult to meet these people or anybody I wanted to meet sooner or later, somewhere or other. It was bound to happen. It's strange, all 22 are in the same way stupid. No sign of intelligence. You cannot see a single ray of light in their eyes. They are dull, dead. It has to be so, because they have been repressing life energy, life force, when you repress life energy, you will become dull. And the methods that you are going to use to repress life energy are bound to make you more and more stupid. For example, they cannot eat even twice a day. They have thousands of rules, so they can eat only few things which cannot provide them with all the vitamins, proteins, which are needed for intelligence to function. They are starving. And intellect is a luxury. When all your needs of the body are fulfilled, only then intellect gets energy, because it is at the highest level of your being. If on the lower levels your energy is starving, then it cannot rise to reach to the higher levels. Jaina monks' food is absolutely devoid of proteins. He is not a meat eater. And I am not suggesting that he should eat meat. But I have suggested to them, you can use soya bean, which is as good as meat, or even better. But those fools will not use soya bean because it is not written in their scriptures. At that time, soya bean was not discovered. I have argued with them that it is not non-vegetarian. It is vegetarian. They say it is vegetarian, but it is not written in the scriptures. And Mahavira, who is omniscient, must have known better than anybody else what has to be eaten. Now, Mahavira is not a chemist, is not a physician, is not a physiologist. He knows nothing about the inner working of the body. He knows nothing about the vitamins or the protein or anything that is absolutely necessary as a nourishment for intelligence. They cannot take milk because it is animal food. They cannot take anything made of milk. It is animal food. And their logic is, you are depriving the animal's kids, that is violent. naturally they become dull. They lose gusto for life. In fact, they want to lose it. They are afraid of it. If it is there, then who knows, in some weaker moment, it may take possession of you. Hence the fear of the woman. No Jaina monk is allowed to touch a woman. What to say of touching a woman? The Jaina monk is not allowed to sit in the place where a woman has been sitting before, because she leaves her wives there. What to say to these fools? 9 months they have been in their mother's womb, continuously savoring with the woman's wife. Then for years they have been nurtured and nourished by the mother's milk. Their whole body is made up by the woman. The father is almost an inactive partner in the business. I say almost. Any injection can do his work. He can be easily removed from the whole process of reproduction, and he will be removed sooner or later, because we can find better methods, better seeds. Right now it is all accidental. Now science has come to a certain maturity. About animals, we are not so much accidental now. Their breed has evolved. But about men, we are not scientific. The breed is not evolving. Because everybody and anybody is allowed to reproduce children. This is not going to be long. This should not be continued long. Man's business is finished. He only triggers the process. Then the whole burden falls on the woman. And these fools are saying that you cannot sit in the same place where a woman has been sitting before. Jaina monks carry their own small rug with themselves, because who knows, by mistake you may sit in some place where a woman was sitting before. So they carry two things, a small brush which they clean the place, as if by a brush you can remove the vibrations. Then they spread their small mattress that they are carrying with themselves, always carrying. You cannot touch it. You are not allowed to touch it. And then they will sit on it. I have asked these monks that if you are really a little bit alert, then please, I will show you two places. In one place a man has been sitting, and the other place the woman has been sitting. You decide by feeling the vibration which one is the man's and which one is the woman's. Even science has not been able to discover any detector yet. And of course, they declined that we are not going to do any such thing. But I said, the reality is you cannot do. You have just learned gibberish, vibrations. What do you know about vibrations? And what those vibrations can do to you? No, the fear is the fascination. The woman fascinates. It comes into their dreams. They have been able to throw her out from their waking hours, but in their nights. Mahatma Gandhi was very much impressed by Jaina monks. He was a strange fellow. Born a Hindu, but not much of a Hindu. 90% Christian, 9% Jain, 1% Hindu. Many times in his life he was on the verge of converting to Christianity. One time he was ready to convert to Jainism. He has accepted 3 persons as his masters. One is a Jaina, Srimad Rajchandra. The second is Leo Tolstoy, who was a fanatic Christian. And third is Henry Thoreau, who was also a fanatic Christian. I have been talking to these Jaina monks and telling them the story of Mahatma Gandhi, what happened to him. In his ashram, no love affair was allowed. Even husband and wives, if they wanted to become inmates of the ashram, had to take the vow of brahmacharya, celibacy. That was a basic rule. So they were husbands and wives, but they were both celibate. it was not being followed. They were caught again and again. And Gandhi was a Masochist. Just as I have told you that Mahavira has Masochism in him, enjoying torturing oneself. There is a certain mind disease which gives you pleasure out of pain. So what Mahatma Gandhi used to do whenever a couple was found that they have broken celibacy, and it was such a sensitive affair, that there was no need for actual sex relationship to happen. Just holding hands, if somebody had seen them, that was enough. Or hugging each other, one's own wife. What Mahatma Gandhi will do, he will go on a fast. He will torture himself. He will not punish those people. But it is really a greater punishment than any you could have invented. Because the whole ashram will condemn the couple. The couple will be tortured by his own conscience, that it is because of us he is fasting. They will weep and cry and persuade, forgive us, we will never do it again. But break your fast. He will say, I am not punishing you, I am punishing myself. This is a signal to me that I am not pure enough. That's why around me such impure things happen. I am simply purifying myself. Now this too is a very subtle way of the ego. Something you have done, and I decide to be responsible for it. On the surface, it looks how saintly. But deep down, nothing can be more egoistic. Who am I? How my purity or impurity comes in your life? But he was just thinking in terms of the old scriptures, that if you are a real saint, then around you nothing impure can happen. But what is impure? A man loving a woman, what is impure in it? His own woman, not against her will, what is impure in it? And if it is impure, then everybody is born of impurity. your very birth is in impurity. I have asked these Jaina monks that what happened to Mahatma Gandhi in the last years of his life, because the whole life he was repressing, and the moment came that it became too much beyond his capacity to control it anymore. Then people find rationalizations. Then he started to sleep with a naked woman. But he had a cunning mind. He rationalized it. He said he is just testing whether anywhere in his unconscious the woman still has some attraction. Does he still feel fascinated by a naked young girl? And he was beyond 70, and the girl he was sleeping was only 20. This was not told to the public at large, because his disciples were afraid that he will lose his Mahatmahood. People will start thinking, what is this? It was repressed from reaching to the public. Only few disciples, close disciples, who could keep their mouth shut, knew about it. But in the eyes of those close disciples, Gandhi had already fallen. He is no more the same Mahatma he used to be. I have been telling these Jaina monks, try to understand Gandhi, what happened to him. And this will happen to you. But you can remain so starved that there is no energy left in you. That was Mahatma Gandhi's mistake. Otherwise, this would not have happened. Because he was eating well, nursing food, milk, everything that was needed for the body. He was very concerned about the body, very careful about the body. That was the reason that it happened. Energy was there, and he was not a dull man. He was tremendously intelligent. But as the energy rises to intelligence, it also goes deeper to your very foundation of sexuality. It goes to the roots. If the energy goes to the flowers, it has to go to the roots. There is no other way to reach to the flowers. It has to go through the roots. But I have found these people so dull. I will be talking to them and I could see they have not heard anything. Their eyes look almost dead. Their bodies have shrunken. They look ugly. They have been against sex, that's why they have to be against the woman. Jainas believe that nobody can be liberated from a woman's body. Only man can be liberated, can attain to the ultimate. Their word is moksha. But only from a man's body, not from a woman's body. What is wrong in a woman's body? There is no difference at all. The only difference is physiological, and that is too not much of a difference, not a difference that can make difference. Men's sexual organs are hanging out and women's sexual organs are hanging in. That's the only difference. Just turn your pocket and let it hang it out. The pocket becomes male. Put it back to its original position, it becomes female. This you call difference? The same pocket? It is because there is not much difference that now science has discovered a man can become a woman just by a simple plastic surgery. A woman can become man just by plastic surgery. If there was some fundamental difference, then it was not possible. By plastic surgery, you are just turning the pocket out or in and nothing much is there. Jainas say a woman is condemned by her female body. First, she has to become a man. So there are Jaina nuns. They are not striving for liberation. They are striving to be born in the next life as men. Then they will work for liberation. There is one step more for them than for men. Ladies first does not apply. One woman in the history of Jainas must have been a woman of tremendous courage, intelligence, and rebel. That she rebelled against this idea. Her name was Mallibai. She simply rebelled against this whole idea. She said, this is just created by a man. And she must have been a charismatic woman. Certainly, to become a Jaina monk, she was not going to become a nun, because a nun has the goal to become a monk in the next life. She became a Jaina monk. A Jain nun is allowed to have clothes. She has not to be in nude. That stage will come in the next life if she succeeds. But this woman, Mallibai, is a rare rebel. I have looked all around the world. I don't find another woman of the same rebelliousness. She became a monk. She dropped her clothes and she declared to the Jainas that I am a monk and I am striving for liberation and I don't care a bit what your scriptures say. And she was certainly charismatic. And she fulfilled all the requirements that are prescribed for a Tirthankara. And the Jainas had to accept her as a Tirthankara. But they played a trick. When she died, they changed her name. Mallibai, Bai, designates a woman. They made the name Mallinath. Nath designates man. So if you read the history, you will not find in 24 Tirthankaras there has been a woman, because her name, they don't say Mallibai, they say Mallinath. And they have deceived the whole world. And they have continued on the old trip. One woman has proved it. And one woman's proof is enough for all women. But the cunning priesthood changed the name when she died. They not only changed her name, they changed the statue. It is a man's statue. In the temples, in Jaina temples, there are 24 Tirthankara statues. All men. I used to go to Jaina temples and ask, who is Mallibai? And the priest will become shaky and he will say, Mallibai, are you a Jaina? I said, no, I am not a Jaina. But I am not a male chauvinist. Who is Mallibai out of these 24? And he will show me. But I will say that this is a man's statue. The sexual organs are hanging out. And I am absolutely certain there was no plastic surgery at that time. Soon they became aware So whenever I will go to a Jaina temple, they will say, the temple is closed. You are not allowed in the temple. In Indore, in India, there is one most beautiful Jaina temple, perhaps the most beautiful in India. It is made all of glass, the whole temple. When you enter into it, you see yourself reflected in million mirrors around you, because the whole temple is just a small pieces of mirror. I loved the place, was beautiful and quiet, but they will not allow me to enter. Once I had been in, then the door was closed for me. The man who had made the temple I approached him and said, this is strange. You allow even spectators who are not Jainas, you allow visitors, Christians can come, anybody can come in the visiting hours. Because the temple was such a unique piece of art that up to 12 in the morning, only Jainas could enter into it to worship. After 12, visitors were allowed. I am not even allowed in the visitors. The moment the priests, and he was always standing on the door, the moment he says that you are not allowed. I asked the man who had made, and it was a very precious gift that he had given to the country. He told me, I know, and I myself wanted to meet you. The priest has informed me. And it happened because for 6 months I had to stay in Indore because my father was very sick. And he would not let me go. So I had to stay. And the hospital was just 5 minutes walk from the temple. So whenever I had time, I will knock on the door and the priest will hit his head with his hand and he will say, I have told you again and again that for you this temple is closed forever. The man who had made it, he said, I wanted to meet you. I can tell the priest that you should be allowed. But please don't ask questions which we cannot answer. Your question is valid. I know you are right. Actually, Mallinath was a woman. But why disturb? For 25 centuries, we have maintained that he was man and now nobody asks about it. All history books have accepted it. You are a strange fellow. From where you have got this idea? We have made it absolutely clear to all the history books in every possible way. In every temple, the statue is of a man. I said, you don't be bothered from where I got the idea. The question is, on the temple door, you have written, truth is the highest religion. Inside, where the shrine is for 24 Tirthankaras, you have written Satyameva Jayate. Truth is always victorious. I am not concerned. Who cares what business it is of me to be bothered whether this was a man or a woman, whether this person existed or not, even I am not interested in that. But you should erase these words, Satyamev Jayate, and just underneath you have the statue of Mallibai as Mallinath. And truth is the highest religion. Erase these two sentences, I will never come to this temple again. If you don't erase, I am going to continue every day. You go on refusing, I will go on continuing. And by, many people became aware, because at odd hours I will go there, sometimes in the morning when Janas were worshipping, and he will be closing the door and saying, you cannot come in. Sometimes when his spectators were going in and he will close the door. And for 6 months I had no business. My father was sick. And the temple was just 5 minutes away. I could go 2, 3 times, 4 times, as many times as I liked. Even in the night, sometimes I will knock. And the priest will wake up and he will say, what? Even in the night? I said, unless you erase those two sentences, I am not going to leave. Finally, they had to erase those two sentences. I said, I am finished with your temple. Now you can do whatever you want. You have accepted that even in the name of truth, there is untruth. Even in the temple of truth, you have been lying for 25 centuries. One rebellious woman, and you have destroyed her completely. And you have been repeating the same again, that the woman cannot achieve salvation. And the woman has proved that she had become Tirthankara. Jainas had to accept her. She must have been a tremendously strong woman. That she is going directly to moksha, She is not going to be born in a man's body. Because bodies are left behind. Men's or women's. They will be burnt on the funeral pyre. And the soul is not feminine or masculine. And it is the soul, the innermost consciousness, which is being transformed. The woman had proved absolutely, and you have accepted her. And still, when she died, you started lying again. It is a male chauvinist world. All Hindu avatars are men. Not a single woman is accepted. Not that there has not been women of much more strength, of much more power than these so-called avatars. But they have not been accepted. Just because they are women. And it is a men's world. A Mohammedan can marry 4 women. He is allowed by a Quran. A woman is not allowed to marry 4 men. Now, this is unjust. A woman cannot enter into the Mohammedan mosque. She has to pray from the outside. She is filthy just because she is a woman. She is not even allowed to pray inside the mosque. In a synagogue, there is a separate place for the woman. Partitioned. She cannot sit with the man. Mostly, at the back, she has a place. Or on the balcony, she has a place. I am reminded of a story. I don't know whether it is right or wrong. When Golda Meir was Prime Minister of Israel, Indira Gandhi, who was Prime Minister of India, went on a visit to Israel. She wanted to see a synagogue and how the Jews worship and what they do. So Golda Meir took Indira Gandhi and they sat on the balcony. Indira Gandhi asked Golda Meir, "Is it a rule of synagogue that prime ministers can sit only on the balcony? Because Golda Meir and Indira Gandhi both were women. Golda Meir did not want to say that in Jewish tradition the woman is kept separate. But Indira Gandhi thought it is because we both are prime ministers, so a special place is being given to us. Yes, it was a special place, but not for prime ministers. It was for two women. Even though they are prime ministers, it doesn't matter. A woman is a woman. The people, I have spoken in the past with great respect. I have to confess to you that I had to drop many aspects of their life. Otherwise, you would not have been able to understand me at all. Now I want to make the whole thing complete. I want you to know them in their utter nudity, good, bad, right, wrong. Many of my statements will look contradictory to my old statements. Don't be worried. What I am saying now is the right thing. And whatever I will say tomorrow will be more right. The last sentence that I will utter on my deathbed will be the ultimate right. Before that, you cannot decide. I am alive. And I am not in any bondage with the past. On Buddha, how much I have spoken. But he was very disrespectful about women. He won't allow women to become nuns. He will not initiate them. There seems to be some fear deep inside in him of the woman. And it is clear in his statement, for almost 15 years he continued to deny. That I am not going to initiate women. What is the fear? Why not initiate a woman when the women are asking to be initiated? Why prevent them from seeking and searching the truth? Is it man's monopoly? Truth also, is it a commodity? And man's monopoly? Finally, very reluctantly, he agreed. But not happily. He had to agree because the woman who came to ask was the woman who had mothered him. His own mother died in giving birth to Gautam Buddha. His mother's sister remained unmarried, sacrificed her whole life to raise Gautam Buddha. And she gave him more love than any mother can give. And she sacrificed her own life. Naturally, she poured all that she had on him. When she came, her name is Mahamaya. Old. Tears in her eyes, and she said, I know for 15 years you have been rejecting women. But I am your mother. Just remember, I have sacrificed my whole life. Can't you even give initiation to me? Can't you share the truth that you have found? It was under compulsion. He could not refuse Mahamaya. It would have been too cruel. But what he said is still cruel. He accepted, he gave initiation to her sadly, without any ceremony. And said after the initiation that my religion was going to last for 5,000 years. Now it will last only 500 years because I have allowed women to enter. They will destroy it. How women can destroy? I don't see the point at all. In my commune, there are more women than men. They work as hard as men, perhaps more lovingly than men. They have the capacity of love more than man has. They have not destroyed. They have created the commune. Why Buddha is so much afraid? I know why he is afraid. He is afraid his own fear deep down. Perhaps he is still fascinated with the women. At least he is not able to trust his monks. He knows that they will be fascinated and soon. What he has been teaching, celibacy, will be destroyed. It is celibacy that will be destroyed. Why the religion? What religion has to do with celibacy? In fact, with men and women together, the religion will grow. There will be children, and there will be more children, and it will become a vast tree. If I was in his place, I would have said, my religion was going to last only 5,000 years. Now, it is going to last forever, because a woman has entered, now it is complete. Only man is incomplete. Now it is in real commune. Alive, because it can give birth to living beings. But the fear and the fear is possible only if it is somewhere deep down in your own unconscious too. As far as I'm concerned, I trust everybody. Even those who have betrayed me, I still trust them. Because my trust is unconditional. It does not depend on you. It depends on me. If you choose to betray, that is your business. But you cannot destroy my trust in you. Do you see the point? Because I trust unconditionally, you cannot destroy it. But if there are conditions, then certainly you can destroy it. You don't fulfill the conditions and you have destroyed the trust. But a trust with conditions is a bargain. It is not trust. Trust can only be unconditional. And its source is within me. It does not depend on you or your behavior or your action. Even if you kill me, my trust in you will remain the same. You betrayed really yourself. You fell really in your own eyes. But for me, you remain the same person. Shiva has been my bodyguard for years. Then he dropped the sannyas. Then he started speaking against me. He wrote articles in German magazines, Stern and other magazines against me. But if he comes back and wants to be my bodyguard, he will be again by my side. And I know perfectly well what he has done. That does not matter at all. It is his doing. He should be worried and concerned about it. As far as I am concerned, I remain exactly the same. He can come again and be my bodyguard. nobody will accept him as a bodyguard. Because that is the easiest place from where to kill a man. Just now, Indira Gandhi has been assassinated by her own bodyguards. 3 bodyguards. Shot her. 8 bullets, creating 16 wounds, because all bullets passed through her chest, belly, from the back to the other side. And if the bodyguards want to kill, that is the easiest. And the safest place to kill a person. But if Shiva comes back and wants to be my bodyguard, I will be immensely happy to have him. It does not matter. He has to take responsibility of whatsoever he is doing, whatsoever he has done. He has to take the whole responsibility of it. But it is none of my business to interfere in his doings if he feels it right to write against me. Perfectly good. If he feels happy to write against me, perfectly good. But for 10 years he was sitting by my side. He must have a tremendously idiotic mind. In 10 years he could not see any wrong. It took 10 years for him and now, after dropping the sannyas, he becomes suddenly articulate. So what he was doing for 10 years is sleeping. No, it is not against me that he is writing those articles. It is just to console himself that what he has done by dropping sannyas is right, because the man was wrong. He has to prove it to himself that the man was wrong. That's why I have dropped sannyas. Otherwise, it will be continuously a wound. That I loved him so much, trusted him so much, so unconditionally. And this is what he has done to me. I can understand his difficult situation. So, writing against me, he is simply trying to cover up the wound that he has inflicted upon himself. So remember that if Buddha is afraid of women, women are still fascinating to him. That's why he projects the idea, a simple arithmetic He knows that even if to me, once in a while, the woman becomes attractive, then what about my monks? They will be spoiled. But the idea of their being spoiled arises only if you deny sex, otherwise there is no spoiling. I don't see anybody spoiled. No natural instinct spoils you. But repress it, it is then perverted and slowly, you are spoiled by the perversion. You will be surprised. There are Catholic monasteries where women have not entered for 1,000 years. What to say about a woman? A 6-year-old girl baby is not allowed to enter with his father or brother into the monastery. A 6-month-old baby inside the monastery. What do you think, monks are living or monsters are living? Who are afraid of a 6-month-year girl, 6-month-old girl? What kind of people are living inside? So sexually perverted. All sexual perversion has come through your religions. 90% of mental diseases have come through your religions because of sexual perversion. You ask me, what is my attitude about these messiahs, apostles, tirthankaras, avataras, pagambaras? What to say to you? I say simply disgusting, nauseating. They have done so much harm to humanity that when humanity becomes aware, they are going to destroy all these synagogues and temples and mosques and gurudwaras and churches. These people are your real enemies, but hidden behind a facade, a mask. The Christian Trinity cannot allow a woman in it. What was difficult? They could have made, instead of Holy Ghost, what is the need of Holy Ghost? I don't think what kind of phenomenon this Holy Ghost is, and what is his purpose, and what is the need. A woman would have been far better, father, mother, son. It would have looked more logical. This Holy Ghost is he man or woman? But no, even though millions of Christians worship Mary, she is not accepted in the ultimate hierarchy. A woman is, after all, a woman. Jesus, in his 12 apostles, has not a single woman. And you will be shocked to know that when he was crucified, all those apostles escaped. Only 3 women did not escape. One was his mother, Mary. Another was Mary Magdalene, a prostitute, but had fallen in tremendous love with this man, Jesus. And third was also named Mary, sister of Martha. These 3 women proved far more courageous, not afraid, thousands of enemies all around, everyone against Jesus. They are shouting, rejoicing his crucifixion. All the apostles have escaped, afraid that if they are caught, perhaps they will be crucified too. They may have said sometime to the Master that we will live with you and we will die with you. Saying is one thing. Doing is totally another. Only these 3 women were ready to there to be crucified. If that is what is going to happen, then it is okay. It is worth dying with the Master than to live without him. But this loving heart is very rare to find in a man. When it happens in a man, then there is no difference. Still, they are not apostles. They should be the only apostles. Those cowards who had escaped should have been rejected. But just the other day, the Lord Chancellor in England, who has thrown one bishop out of the church, says that I would believe more in Matthew, Luke, Mark, the apostles, whose words are in the New Testament, because they were eyewitnesses. He is absolutely wrong. They were not eyewitnesses. They had escaped. The eyewitnesses were three women, but he does not mention them. Those three men have written the story, but they were not eyewitnesses. Those three women have not written. Must have thought, who would bother about their writing? Who would listen to them? But Lord Chancellor is absolutely wrong in making those three fellows eyewitnesses. They were not. And what they have written is different from each other. If they were eyewitnesses, it would have been exactly the same. To me, what Thomas has written, which is not included in the Bible, because Thomas was not available here, he had gone to India with Jesus, he had written his gospel in India. I have spoken on it. His words seem to be truer, more authentic, closer. For the simple reason that he himself must have attained to a certain state of light. That light filters through his words. It is not in the New Testament that you find that light.
The word content and voice recording on this audio format are the copyright of Osho International Foundation. Copyright dates 1953 through 2003. All rights reserved. Reproduction in any media is prohibited.